does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's Ranch Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you live from a cool radio ranch this morning. About 42, 44 degrees was a low this morning, and it is sweatshirt and coffee weather. But we welcome you this Saturday, August 29th, 2015, to the program Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open in a bit. But good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, everyone.
Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be
here. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We know there's many out there joining us that make it a Saturday morning, and we appreciate that. And, you know, maybe you hear this some other time. I think we replay it later today, and we're going to replay it Monday night as well, because it'll go out on different shortwave frequencies and different groups of people tuning in at different times. And so if that's when you're hearing it, we say welcome to you as well. And we do. Well, we better start off with a word of prayer. Jason, you want to lead us in prayer, and then we'll get on with the coffee.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're thankful to be here this morning. We ask for your blessing upon this program. We pray that you lead us, guide us, direct us, Father, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Father. We ask that you forgive us of any sin in our lives, known and unknown. We pray that you just continue to guide us and direct us in the paths of righteousness, that you strengthen us, that you bless our hands and the labors that we do, that you allow us to be loud and bold and as we come before your throne, Father. We pray for answered prayers and Father, we pray for the remnant, Father. We know that so many people are facing different things in these perilous times as we look up and look around and see the signs of the times that we're living in, Father. We just cry out to you as our deliverer, our Savior, and we pray, Heavenly Father, deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, the forces that come against us. They're coming on many different fronts, Father, and we pray, Father, that you war with them as they war with us, Father, and they war with you, Father. We We know that greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. And we ask that you deal with them as you see fit, Father. You know each and every one of them. You know who they are, and you know what they're doing, Father, to attack you and your people. Destroy this land that you've given us, Father. And we just cry out to you for vengeance, Father. We cry out to you for deliverance, Father. We ask that you grant us healings, that you grant us the deliverance we need, Father. We ask that you just continue to strengthen us, Father. Open our eyes for us to see the things that we need to see. Father, we pray that you just put that path before us so that we know what we're supposed to be doing. We claim these things. We thank you for these things. We ask for boldness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well?
Yeah, well, it seems like there's so many things going on in this land today that it's just, you know, it's just, it's as I talked about a little bit last night, closing out the program, it's the birth pains, and they're getting closer and closer together, and they're gaining momentum, and, you know, it's like, I've been praying a lot the last couple of weeks, you know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And the answer that I keep getting back is it's just the times. And I've spoken with a couple men that I have a lot of respect for on the ministry in the last couple of weeks, and they basically said the same thing. We said, "What is going on here?" And you know, basically everybody's conclusion is it's just the times we're living in. You know, and times change, and that's what you know. I think that we're seeing. You know, this week, I believe it was this week. It might not have been last week, but. You know, the U.S. Anti-Defamation League came out and named the Celtic Cross a racist symbol. And, you know, this first time, you know, they've implied it before, but they've never actually came out and put a name on it. And now the Celtic Cross is considered a racist symbol.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't hear that one this week. Man, oh, man. Well, you're right,
Jason.
I mean,
that goes back to, you know, and that's been around for centuries.
Sure
centuries
it is.
And centuries. And
they're gonna, yeah.
It's all over the place. And yeah, and the thing is you know they've gone in and you know talk about an out and out attack on you know it's an attack against Christianity, it's an attack against our lineage, it's an attack against you know you can call it you know all kinds of attacks, but you know, basically is what the way I look at it is an attack against Christ. It's a Christian symbol. And is being attacked,
absolutely.
You know, and it's one more step. You know, they haven't come out and said the cross is an antichrist or a racist symbol or an antichrist symbol or labeled it anything as of yet. But you know that's the direction that they're going.
Yes, yeah. By their fruits,
exactly.
By their fruits, you
well,
know them, and they are the antichrist by the fruits that they put forth. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, it's interesting that Jason was talking about this because we were talking about water last night a little bit too, and all these rules and everything else that they've come out with as regards water and how there's, you know, it's either too dry or they want to control it all. And,
uh-huh.
And I was like, what's the deal with water? And I was praying this morning actually, and the Lord kind of hit me. He said, you know, well, half the Bible's about water. I mean, the earth was formless and void and covered with the deep, and I am springs of living water. And, you know, John 7:18 says that if you partake, you'll become a spring of living water, will come out of your innermost parts. And the whole Bible talks about God and about our people and about our things as waters. And seas and different things like that. I mean, there's good waters and bad waters, and so it's another Christian symbol they want to control.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Well, they sure done a good job of taking the water out of the churches for baptism too.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, it all ties in, doesn't it? Yeah, I just read. I guess Tennessee is just. Got rid of some Confederate flag stuff here, you know, a couple days ago. So that's another one of those symbols. Anything that, I guess they get a rug going. Why they keep trying. The Celtic cross. They'll have to relandscape half of
half the cemeteries.
Half the country and some of these cemeteries and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't think they won't try to do that. There's been, like you mentioned, the Confederate symbol, there's been laws, different states, you know, in the South that have passed that, they're taking down the Jefferson Davis Memorial and they're renaming Jefferson Davis High School and things like that. It is just sheer insanity is what it is. And Jason, I think it comes right back to what you started off with, is it's the times we live in now. Good is called evil. Evil is called good. You guys were talking about water. Sorry I missed your program last night. I'll catch it on the archives. But have you seen, maybe you talked about it, this Wyoming man that is in hot water out in Fort Bridger with the EPA?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Is it?
And by $16 million.
Yeah, because he did everything the state said to do. Okay? Everything the state said to do. He followed it all, and he even asked him, is there anything else I need to do? Nope, you're good. And then, what, a year later, after it's done, the EPA has to stick their nose in. So, well, good, good. I'm glad you guys got to cover that, because that just, you know, we've read about that Clean Water Act causing problems back in Illinois, and them having problems with it in upper PA, and upstate New York, and places like that. But it's certainly not limited to those places. They think they have free reign, and we'll see how this one works out.
Yeah, that's a way out. Just pick somebody out of the hat out there in that. And we did talk about it. I'll try. I think I've got an article around. I'll try and get something posted up on that too, so that's on there. But
you know, one good thing that I saw out of that, when I saw the little interview on TV and or on the news anyway that they did with him, and is basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he just tell the EPA no?
Didn't he just say no?
Yeah. I'm not going to pay the fine. I can't, and I'm not, and I'm not going to tear the, I'm not going to destroy this pond. I live in Wyoming. Wyoming said I could do it. I did it. It's beautiful. It's enhanced the property. He says, you tell me I'm impacting the whatever river it is. He said, that's 100 miles away. I'm not impacting that river. So I'm glad that he just was able to just say no.
There's all kinds of things about that scenario that were very interesting. They were talking about him environmentally impacting the river, and one of the things that was interesting about that was the fact that they tested the water when it went into his stock pond out of the feed coming down the creek there, and tested the water coming out. It was cleaner coming out than it was going in.
Yeah.
But it's not about it. You know, to us, a lot of those kind of things are common sense. It's not about common sense.
No.
It's about control.
Control.
You know? And,
yep.
And I think it's interesting how the Lord gives us these a lot of times, like you said, it's kind of easy to say no sometimes. It's like, let's see, it's impossible. I couldn't physically do it. I can't afford it, you know. And no, it's not, you know, the common sense list of reasons to say no are right there, pretty easy for him as far as what could he do about it. Right?
Yeah.
So, they gave him like 30 days to put it back to the way it was.
Yeah.
No.
Right. And they talked about, hey, we got bald eagles out here, we've got moose and elk, and that's one thing about Wyoming is, you know, you might have that in the rest of the country, but the water is, you know, when you have a watering hole like that, you put it in for your cattle. We have them here on the ranch. You know, there's some natural ponds up here that you know, after spring floods and everything and the rains and snows we get, that on a good year they fill up and get water in them. And you know, we've had that the last couple of years. It's been good water years, and we've had an abundance of wildlife. We've had moose come through the ranch and elk, and we've seen more ducks up on those ponds in the last 2 years than the previous 12 combined. You know, that's how it works. Sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. But then the EPA comes in, and you're right, it's about control. It's not about the wildlife. It's not about water quality. It's about control. They put themselves in the position of God, and they think that because they speak it, hey, we have decreed this, that you will pay. You will destroy that pond, or you will pay. No, I'm sorry, you're not God, is kind of, I think, the equivalent of what this man is saying. And that, you know, I followed the common sense rules and am doing the best I can to comply. I think that he's, as Jesus taught us, as the scripture tells us, you know, as far as it is possible, as much as it is possible, be at peace with all men. And I see, you know, with this man going to the state of Wyoming and getting the permits that the local state, the guy that he can go down to the local office and talk to and show and talk to about, and applying for the permits and getting all that to be in compliance with the state laws, hey, that's, to me, that's as much as possible being at peace with all men. But then you get this overreaching, thinking that they're God, EPA comes in a year later, nope, sorry, no. And, you know, that was, how many times did we hear our pastor pray that? That, hey, just say no. And we've continued on with that, that there's times you just have to take a stand. And, you know, when they push you to your front door, how much farther can they push you? How much farther can you be pushed?
Yeah. That's true. There's a limit. Well,
and that's what they do. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I believe that that's why, you know, I think that that poem that we've brought up quite a few times here lately on the program, The Wrath of the Awakened. You know, I believe I've read a lot of Rudyard Kipling stuff, and I believe he was a prophet of his time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think that as a prophetic poem that he wrote, The Wrath of the Awakened. And that's the way that our people are going to be. They're going to be pushed until they're pushed no further. And when they've been pushed to the end, when it's not possible, the thing that people got to remember is, you know, the Bible says, when at all possible, be at peace with all men. There becomes a time when it's not possible.
Yes.
When it's not possible, that's when that hatred is going to flow. And that's when it's going to stop. And it's going to be, our people are going to stand up and say, no, it stops here. And when it does, our people are going to, our God is going to have the victory.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, well, go ahead, Tim.
It's just, I was just going to say, it says, occupy until I come. And that requires an effort. And that is the effort. It's not just swim downstream. There's an occupation challenge there. And that is, you know, be courageous, be very courageous, and it takes that. I mean, we see people all around us that, and some of them, it interests me, is that some of them are just, they really don't have much biblical knowledge. They don't really have a lot of that, but they know that that's wrong, and they're standing. I mean, the Lord has put that in their heart, has laid that in their heart, and they're learning School of Hard Knocks, whatever you want to call it, but they're getting there. He's bringing people along. I think we see that all over the place. So,
I had an article here that was pretty interesting, and it was talking about this Calgary bus driver. Has anybody seen that article?
No.
And what was it?
About the Calgary bus driver.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's up there in Calgary, Canada. But basically, one of the bus companies, they took one of their big brand new buses, and they painted it in the colors of a rainbow and put on their "Ride with Pride." And basically, the guy that was driving it was told this is going to be your ride, and he's like, no, then I quit. And they're like, well, you know, why do you quit? And he says, because I'm a Christian. And basically, he quoted Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be proved what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And quoted that, and just said, no. He said, I'm going to drive it. No, I'm a Christian. And you know, there's a small example of somebody that's taking a stand. on, you know, their conviction. You know, it's not popular to take a stand for your conviction, and that's what this guy's finding out, and that's what he's facing, is he says, you know, unfortunately, he said, when we live in a culture where you disagree with someone's lifestyle, accusations automatically come back and say that you hate the person.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's just one of their ways of warfare that they've been using, because they've taken that and they've used it where there's people out there that'd want to quit their job for driving that bus, but they wouldn't, because they wouldn't want to be labeled as a hater, because if they're labeled as a hater, they think that's such a bad thing in their mind.
Yeah.
You know, but it goes right back to just the warfare with words, you know, and they've got it so made up in people's minds through television, radio, through what we see, that, oh, you know, this person could be labeled as a hater, this person could be labeled, you know, and they've got that in people's minds where it's worse than, yeah, well, it's about the worst thing that there is. I mean, there's people out there that would be rather labeled a homosexual or a fag or a queer than a hater. And, you know, there's really something wrong with that in my book.
Yeah. Amen. I agree. Yeah. Not to mention the vehemence and the froth and the downright derision when those people that are doing the labeling, the minions, I like to call them, you know, they jump on people that declare or stand for the Lord with both feet. You know, while they're busy calling you a hater, they're acting, they exhibit all the signs of what they supposedly want to label everybody else with. They have no hesitancy toward that. I mean, they're just, you know, just spitting and frothing and everything else. But you can point to the Bible and say, well, the Lord, you know, the Bible says that this is wrong, or do not to do that. Well, you're just, you know, and they just go off on you, and it's like, I see how you are. So,
and it's interesting the way that people put it too. Is read on in this article is, you know, people are, oh, he's making a stand, but he's got a family to feed, and he's got this, and he's got bills and everything. And, you know, I think that I believe, and I firmly believe, that if you always stand on what is right, no matter who agrees with you, no matter who else thinks you're right, if you're convicted that you're making the right decision, if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit or God to do something, and you do it, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's on your side.
Amen.
As long as you're right. And you got God on your side, and God can open this, can open a door and give this guy a job that's 10 times better.
Yeah.
You know? Amen. And, you know, he can see to it that bus line fails and goes bankrupt also. And it's all it takes is one. And that's what people forget. You know, but the thing that to remember is you got to be right. You've got to be on the right side. Amen. And the thing is if that guy's a Christian, you know, I wouldn't want to be a Christian driving that bus. That would be a dangerous spot. I think that'd be a more dangerous spot to be in than to be without a job on the street.
Yeah.
We know judgment starts in the house of the Lord.
Well, Jason, yeah, we know that.
These people that are sacrificing what they believe and their convictions and just going with the way of the world, that is a dangerous place to be.
It is.
They're not hot, not cold,
yep,
and they will be spewed out of his mouth.
If they would but read his word and see that, but so many people fail to do that. That's one of the reasons we're in this mess, is there's so many other things to do. And if the people would just do that, I think that would go a long way to seeing that very thing, that it is a much more dangerous place to claim to be a Christian, but yet to be supporting those that deny Christ, supporting sin, embracing sin. You know, that brings the entire homosexuality message up. You know, You have so many of these false antichrist Judeo-Christian churches. And if you go to a Judeo-Christian church, that's just what it is. You ask your pastor, what does not Judaism deny that Jesus is the Christ? And it does. That's one of its basic tenets of Judaism, is that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that he is not the Christ. And so, you know, when you have these so-called Christians that support these antichrist churches, it's a dangerous place to be in. It's a much more dangerous place to be than if they were sitting at home just reading their Bible. Much more. Well, guys, yeah. Let's try the phone lines. And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, you were talking about how these words that they use to attack us with, you know, like a hater. But now the one that I've always been fascinated with is the anti-Semite. And, of course, yep. Without getting into the argument about what a Semite is, I've often thought that, you know, if you remember your math, you have the universe is all the people, and if you create a subset, which is the Semites, then you have another subset, which is the non-Semites. So here you have the people that claim to be Semites calling us anti-Semites. Well, then, conversely, they are a nonsense. And I've often thought if we could all just confront these people and just call them anti-non-Semites. And then once you start doing that, then that creates confusion in people's mind, you know, and then it sort of blurs the, blurs the message, lessens the impact of their attacks. And then, of course, then if people start thinking, well, what is a Semite, then that is definitely an argument they do not want to get into, I don't think, because they are not Semites.
It shows and it proves that so often they accuse you of what they are. They accuse us as being an anti-Semite, and what are they? They're actually an anti-Semite.
Yes.
Right. And so that's, and then also like a hater, well, you could just say, well, you're a non-hater, or you're an anti-hater.
Yeah.
Don't use anti-non, just an anti-hater. And of course, that's a negative. And once you accuse them of being anti against something, then that puts them on the back foot, as they say. And you're an anti-hater, you know, and you're an anti-this, or you're an anti-heterosexual. You're an anti-white, you know, I mean, you just, you know, they've taken a very aggressive approach, you know,
yes.
with these words, and we just probably turn them back. It degenerates into a sort of a schoolyard sort of you're this and you're I'm that, you know. And you know, you've had all that, but nevertheless, the field of combat they're working on. So
it is, you know, and you know, many times we've seen that. You know, we get blamed for being intolerant, and we've seen signs. You know, no tolerance for intolerance.
Yeah,
you know, and they don't even, it's the people are under a spell. I mean, some of them certainly are just serpent sons of hell that are unrepentable. They cannot repent. They are children of hell. They're sons of Satan. They are doing the will of their father, the devil. It's like in the times that the crowd stirred up, those to crucify Christ. They stir up those that are God's people, they stir them up, and they put these terms out, like Jason said about, oh, well, you don't want to be, the worldly, the people that are in the world, they don't want to be accused of being a hater, of being intolerant, of being a racist, so they just cow down, and they are taken in by these terms. You know, no, I'm not intolerant. No, we love everybody. You know, and you'll see that'll come to churches. You'll have a pastor that might bring a sermon that, hey, listen, he reads from the Bible that, you know, God doesn't love the sinner. He doesn't love the sin. He says, repent, return to me, change your evil ways. And maybe a pastor will address that, or a guest speaker will address that toward homosexuality. And the next week, all the churches, oh no, we love everybody. We don't judge. We don't discriminate. We love everybody. God loves everybody. And because the people don't want to be tied up in that. But if you, and the pastor brought it out so well, I think, that if you don't hate some stinking SOB that would come in and try to abuse your children, that would try to take them and damn them to hell by taking them into this filthy, ungodly death style. If you don't hate them, if you don't hate those teachers that of their own free will teach this stuff and teach perversion to our children, if you don't hate them, if you don't love your children enough to hate those that would come against them, then you are that lukewarm Christian, and God will, as Jason said earlier, spew you out of his mouth. We need to, we need to get back into reading this Bible and seeing how God is, not how we are, not how our people are that think they've become God. They decide what's right and wrong. The Supreme Court is nothing. They decide things in Babylon, in man's court, and that's it. It doesn't change the Word of God at all. And if we can't have, that's one of the reasons. I remember somebody saying they heard Pastor one time, and it was a woman, and she commented to me. She said, "I just don't feel the love of Christ, of God in his tone." And I said, "That's because you don't know what the love of God is, because everything the pastor put out was the love of God, the love of his people, and the hatred." Oh, didn't David say, "God, I hate those that hate you with a godly hatred, with the utmost, the most I can hate them. I hate them because they hate you and they hate your people. And they want to, as Psalms 83, they've conspired together to destroy us." And if you can't hate them, you don't love God. It's as simple as that. Sorry, I didn't mean to get on a rant, but that's exactly how it is. And these words that they use, these words, "Oh, you don't want to be a hater." Yeah, I do. If I love God, I have to hate what he hates. And he hates sin. He hates divorce. There's several times, yay, six things God hates. Yay, seven. A deceitful tongue. All types of things. There's all types of things that God hates. And Jesus Christ hates them the same. Anyway.
Yeah, like these people that defend child molesters or something. But, instead of, you could just call them anti-child. In other words, if you got very aggressive with them, you say, "You're
that.
Anti-child. And what's
they
their
are.
Rebuttal to that?
They are.
Yeah.
And then
there's a lot of truth in that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then we just have to turn. Of course, then they're just looking for a fight. And of course, then if we turn around and fight with them, then they start crying. But you just have to fight them with their own weaponry. I've often thought about that. I'm out here in the country. I never run into these people, but I've thought, well, I'd like to get down and get into a match with them and say, "Well, you're an anti-this or you're an anti-non-Semite." And once they break through that, some of them will never stop, but some of them might break through it in their minds, and open their minds up a little bit about what they're, what's happening, So.
Yeah.
You're an anti-child.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if you remember the story Pastor told when that drug dealer got killed here and tied to a fence out on the prairie. The filthy faggot Matthew Shepard, sexual pervert, drug dealer. He had stolen drugs from these guys before, and when they caught up with him again and he wanted some more drugs, "Hey, guys, I'll settle up with you." And they said, "Yeah, we'll settle up with you." And they killed him because he stole drugs from them. Now, he happened to be a filthy pervert, a homosexual. And we've talked with I've heard the police here in town talk about it and say, the case was solved. They're usually able to solve what few murders they have out here pretty quick, especially when drugs are involved. And it was solved and done until the feds found out that he was that this pervert was a pervert, and then they blew it all up.
It was a drug deal gone bad, is what it was.
It was a drug deal gone bad, and I've had sheriff's deputies and police here in town, say that in public several times until they get now when they get on the news. Oh no, they have to, they have to support the main story, but. Pastor was in town right after that, and they were having all the newspaper reporters and all that. And he tells a story in one of his messages how he's walking through and seeing all these people, and he asked one of the reporters. He says, "What's all the fuss about?" And they said, "Oh well, haven't you heard that the Matthew Shepard trial and this, the homosexual and all this?" And Pastor said, "You mean that sexual pervert?" And the reporter comes back to him and says, "Well, what do you mean by that pervert?" And Pastor said he told him in no uncertain terms, and he used very plain and understandable language. He said, you mean to tell me that you don't think that if a man would take his such and such and put it in and do it in such and such, and he said he didn't say such and such with that reporter, and he said, if you don't think that's not sexual perversion. And then the reporter, now that he's got the reporter, says, oh, sir, yes, what else do you have to say about this? What's your name? Pastor said, Tex, and walked off. And you know, there's a time for that. I think there is. There's a time for that. You know, we are beyond just the sloppy, agape, you know, God loves everybody. Then that certainly has a place. God loves us. He, you know, if you're reading the Bible in the Bible reading plan, you're getting through Lamentations today. And even it tells us, return to God. Oh, he loves us. John 3:16 is still there. Absolutely. But, you know, there comes a time that our people in this spell, they have to be shocked out of it. Because they are in this double-mindedness spell. You know, they believe, oh, yeah, these people that call themselves Jews, they deny Jesus, but they're God's chosen people. And Jesus is God. And they believe these opposing factors. They claim, yes, America was formed on a Judeo-Christian ethic. And that's a lie burped up out of the pits of hell. It was formed to further the Christian faith. There was no Judaism in it. And
well, I've often thought,
they believe
concerning
that.
God's chosen people, you know, we have a living God, and so God can change his mind and say he could come to somebody and say, somebody could come out and say, if they could get people's attention, say, God came to me last night in a dream, and he said he changed his mind. That's all there is to it. And if you could convince people of that, then you could break the spell. God changed his mind.
Well, the spell's broken when the people repent. Even here in Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. And then again in verse 40 says, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. We lift up our hearts and hands toward God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. And when we change our ways, be it an individual is where it starts, and then maybe it's a family, and then maybe it's a few families, and then maybe it's a church, and then maybe it's a community. But when we return to God, that's when the spell's broken. And when we repent, when we read the word and believe, yes, that's a start. But when we repent, when his people repent and pray to him and return to him and obey his word, and there's that water baptism so we can be clothed with him, when we can be share in the glory of his death so that we are able to share in the glory of his resurrection. When we repent and are baptized, well, then the spell's broken. Then that gift of the Holy Spirit comes, that helper comes, that Holy Spirit comes into our lives and opens this word up, this word of God, this God that came down in the flesh and became this word. And this word became flesh. And it opens that up, and it gives us those eyes to see that, hey, wait a minute. This the Bible, this says here, this is who the Antichrist is, those that deny the Christ. Well, who does that apply to? All that deny the Christ. And he says there were many then in his day, and there's many here today. And that's how the spell is broken. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. I think that's one of the reasons our pastor pushed baptism so much, is because it is so important. It is. Now, it's not an end. It's a beginning. You know, people out there think that, oh, well, I believe, and that's it. Because there's a scripture verse that says, believe on the Lord and you will be saved. And it absolutely says that. They just don't understand what believe means. There's more to it than just that word. And because the people are under a spell. But believing is not an end. It's a beginning. And then, you know, repentance is not an end. It's a beginning. It's a beginning on the path to being a Christian and to returning to the Lord, as even Lamentation says. I think every book in the Bible talks about that. Return to me, he says. turn from your wicked ways, return to me. So,
yeah. Well, we've got an uphill battle, but it's a struggle we have to keep fighting with, you know. The enemy is got a good bit of them under control. So to hope and pray that we can win.
Amen. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
307-745-5913. Tim, you were talking about water earlier. Looks like Florida's going to get a little bit more water coming up.
It does.
Tropical it storm does. Erica, they're thinking it's not quite a hurricane yet, I understand, but they're expecting it to roll on into Florida, and maybe by this next week.
Get kind of wet down there, and sounds like some winds.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I wanted to interject was, a lot of times I was talking to a fella here a couple days ago. He was delivering some stuff, and we were visiting, and he's like, well, yeah, I realize that there's these problems. And he was actually had brought some things up, and we've talked before, and he goes, but, you know, I just don't know what one person can do. And he claims to be a Christian, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, well, you mean what can one person do? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, have you read your Bible? You know, he's like, well, you know, I go to church and this and that. And I said, well, yeah, but the whole Bible is about what one person can do.
Yes.
You know, I mean, God says, I am who I am. Moses, he called him. He brought the children of Israel, you know, out of Egyptian captivity. You go to Gideon, he called him. The Bible is full of that, all the way up to Christ. And we know that Christ and God were joined on the cross. God turned away. That was one who did all that for us. I mean, that's what one person can do. If you wonder what you can do, if you wonder what your potential is as an individual in the kingdom of God, read through your Bible. It's there all over. And God helps, God empowers, God grants all those things. You know, it's just there. So,
amen. Amen.
That's a lot of individuals make up the we. So, but I was thinking of the math equation, you know, and all that, and it is a math equation. All those I ams are, and that's why I like the I am confessional and all that stuff's important. It matters. So when Pastor did that. So I thought that was kind of ties in with a lot of those things as far as power and ability and the power to say no and everything else.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, Jason, how is the newsletter printing coming? I know we mentioned it a little bit Thursday night and just about got the online version ready to email out. How's that print version coming of the Volume 6 Dragon Slayer?
It's coming. We're printing away.
So hoping maybe get that mailed out sometime next week, huh?
Yep. Hopefully Monday. That's good. The plan.
Well, good. And we'll get that online version emailed out as well. And if you don't get the Dragon Slayer newsletter, we suggest that you do. We don't charge for it. It's not, remember our pastor used to teach, you know, there's no free lunch. It certainly costs to print it, you know, take a week and a half, 2 weeks to put it together between articles and formatting and then get it printed. It takes a week to print it out and then the postage bill, just about choke an elephant when you take it down to the post office and have to write them a check for that huge mailing. And so, but we don't charge for it. Pastor never has, and we never did. And we'd be glad to send it to you. It has our complete broadcasting schedule in it. It has our contact information, and it is full of pertinent, biblical, scriptural articles to encourage you and to strengthen you and to give you tools and weapons to continue to be able to fight the fight that we all are to fight, that daily fight of faith. So if you'd like that Dragon Slayer newsletter, you can write to us and request it. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. You can also visit us at the website and send an email through the websites. The websites are scriptures4america.org, scriptures4america.org, and there's a way to contact us through that. And then also we encourage you to visit our network website. That's sfawbn.com, sfawbn.com, and our complete broadcast schedule is there, archives, and you can look at the broadcast schedule. You can go back at least a couple of months, click on July 3rd and see what played when. You can listen to those programs then. You can order a CD of those programs right there from that broadcast schedule. And so we want to make sure that you're aware of that resource. And if you'd like us to email you the Dragon Slayer newsletter, we can do that as well. Just about finished with this online, full color, in PDF, interactive, full of hyperlinks that will let you either go right to the cart and be able to order books and pamphlets and CDs that are in there, as well as links over for more information. If you'd like us to email that to you, send us an email and say, hey, email me the Dragon Slayer. And our email address here is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org.
I was going back to the, I looked a little bit up on Erica here real quick, and it looks like the winds have dropped below 39 miles an hour on it, so it's now losing its tropical storm threshold as it's coming in. But the governor said they need to have game plans to evacuate or help family members evacuate in the path of this storm. So,
Yeah, my brother-in-law said they're basically flooded out in Central Florida as it is, and he said, you know, more rain it might drown some ducks, but it's not going to make much difference to them, because a lot of them there are already flooded out. They've had quite a bit of rain, which is good. They certainly need the rain to replenish their aquifers and to help out with the ponds and the lakes and that type of thing. But they might get a little bit more.
Switching gears. I watched a couple videos this week that were pretty interesting. One of them, and I'll try to get them posted up there on the Newswire today. But it was interesting because one of them was from the state of Washington, and it was a guy that did a fantastic job going up and trying to interview a couple of these police officers that were driving around in unmarked vehicles. Because basically, Washington State has a state law that says that all patrol vehicles have to have markings on it. And they say they classify it as a safety issue, so that if somebody stopped at night, they need to be able to know if they're being stopped by a police officer, sheriff's department, or what's going on, because they've had so many instances where people were pretending to be police and, you know, pulling women over and trying to rape them or murder them or, you know, different sorts of things. So basically, they classify it as a safety issue. And they found all this gentleman that was doing the interview was found all these vehicles that didn't have any identifiers on it. So he just walked up with a video camera and asked them where their identifying marks at. And the police officers would just drive away from him. And, you know, he'd get back in his car and he'd follow him. And then, you know, he ended up following him all the way to the police department and going into the police station. And, you know, it was really interesting. You can see just how they have no respect for the law. And I think it was a good video to watch because it really puts that in perspective. know, people talk about them being law enforcement officers, but they think that they're above the law. And this video really shows, it gives a good explanation of that. Basically, the officers just lie and lie and lie over and over and over again. You know, and the guy asks him, he's like, do you not care that you are disobeying the law? He's like, does that bother you? Does that bother you that this is, you know, that you have a state law that says you can't do this, but you're the sheriff, he says to do this, and, you know, do you have any problem with that? And, you know, they don't answer.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm going to get that posted up at the Newswire at SFAWBN later on today. So I'll try to get it up here right after the program. I encourage people to watch it. Another one that I watched was really interesting, and it really puts a lot of things into perspective. It was an organized drug bust in the state of California. And basically is what they did is they sent in, I can't remember the name of the operation that they called it, but it was a 21 Jump Street style drug bust where they sent police officers in, adult police officers posing as students, sent them into the schools, sent them into the classrooms, gave them homework, and they played the whole complete student role. And they ended up coming out with 22 convictions. Out of this operation. The interesting thing behind it was that over 12 of the convictions were to mentally challenged children, and a lot of them were autistic. And what their tactics were going in and, you know, finding these special needs children or these autistic children and saying, you know, becoming their friend. Oh, I want to be your friend. Well, is what this officer would do is he'd come in and he'd find somebody like that and he'd, you know, oh, I want to be your friend. And the next thing you know is, you know, these kids which have a hard time making friends, usually don't have friends, are all excited because they have a friend. Next thing you know is this cop is telling them, well, I need to get some drugs. I need to get some weed. You know, can you help me out with that? And the kids forever is like, no, I don't know where to get any. I don't do that. I don't have anything to do with that. Well, I'm not going to be your friend if you can't get me some weed. Well, these kids feel challenged, like they're going to lose their friends if they don't do this. So they start going out and trying to find drugs for this cop. And anyway, out of the 22 convictions they got out of it, over 12 of them were mentally challenged special needs children. And, you know, talk about entrapment. You know, since when has entrapment become legal? I mean, and that's exactly what they did to these mentally, every one of these mentally challenged kids had never done drugs, had never done drugs, never dealt drugs, and they charged them with multiple felonies for being a drug dealer in the school system.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a fairly long video, but it's worth watching just to see how they go about entrapment, how they like to entrapment people, how they play, and it shows you that they play dirty. And it puts it really clear in your mind that these cops, they're not your friend.
Well, and in a different world or in a different scenario, don't they call those kind of people when they go out and into that and do that and have them doing that, they call them confidential informants, don't they, or resources, and they're exempt from prosecution because they're using them to steer them to it. But in this instance, they're having them do their job for them and then nabbing them, huh?
Basically it boils down to it's a money deal because the more convictions they get, the more federal money that they get from the federal, I don't know, they get basically on the number of school convictions they say that all for drug crimes in the United States that they get, that is how it determines how much federal money that they come. So occasionally they need more money from the federal government and they've got to go into the schools and they got to try to bust. And all it means is they need their arrests and they need the convictions.
Yeah. Yeah, it has nothing to do with law. Nothing to do with law, nothing to do with justice or liberty, nothing whatsoever to do with that. You know, and they'll advertise, you'll see the the police in that, in those instances, the public information officers coming in. And, you know, we took 22 or however many drug dealers out of the schools. And, oh, it sounds good. It sounds good until, like you're doing, Jason, until you look into it. And you see that, no, you didn't take 22 drug dealers out of the school. You went in there and lied and falsely convicted and entrapped these people that had never done drugs and never would do drugs. So, yeah. Well, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, and that's one of the other things that they did is this guy goes up and he comes up and he kind of becomes friends with the guy and then he's bugging him. Oh, you need to find me some drugs. Finally, you know, after time goes on, this kid's like, okay, well, I know somebody over here. He's like, I don't, you know, and so he takes him over and introduces him to this guy and he's like, well, he can probably get you some drugs. And the guy takes out some drugs, puts it on the table, and then this guy, what he thought was his friend, is like, oh, okay, all right, well, that's good. Well, go ahead and hand it to me. So
yeah.
His friend, who he thought was his friend, picks it up and hands it to him, and that was the exchange.
Yep.
And that's what they charged him with. And they charged him with two felonies for that.
Distributing drugs.
And it's a money deal. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, you think back to the Randy Weaver case. That's what they did with him. There was entrapment there. I think of others that ATF has done the same thing with. You know, we know of others that they have done that with, and it's called entrapment, and it's what they do. Well, guys, we just got a minute left. Maybe we got time for one last caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, caller.
Morning, Richard. This is Marlon.
Hey, good morning, Marlon.
I'll keep it brief. I just been out in the garden and listening on my phone, and I was taking notice of Jason talking about change, and just kind of want to encourage y'all and everybody else that's part of the ministry that, you know, we can see changes even in the ministry. Anybody that's been listening for a while can kind of see these changes, but, you know, things do change. Time changes, people change. The seasons change. God changed your heart. Yep. Clothing styles and music, and you know, and people come and go. And I'm kind of a creature of habit and like routine. But you know, I think back to when I was first exposed to some of the pastor's teaching and how it changed me and how I resisted that at first. I think we just need to realize these are exciting times, and. God has a plan for us, and we just need to try to obey Him. And now, I don't believe that God changes, but I do think that He has changed His actions or repented from certain decisions that He was going to make because somebody who loved and obeyed Him pleaded with Him.
Yes, absolutely. The Word bears that out. The Word bears that out and tells us that.
Well, fellas, I appreciate all of
it, Marlon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, sure, and I appreciate y'all and what you do, and I know the time is short, and you've got invites to send out yet, so I'll get off and let you do your closing.
Thanks, Marlon. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks, you Marlon. Too. Bye now.
Appreciate those words.
Well, that is where we are. Time is short, not only on this program, but in the days we live in as well. And so we thank you for joining us. We do invite you to church. Come to church with us tomorrow at scripturesforamerica.org at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Sunday mornings, you can click on the live video stream if you have a good internet connection and join us for church. We encourage you to do that. We do. Tim, Jason, thanks for joining us. We thank you, Remnant, for joining us. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 805-35.
Rolling, stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Oh, Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, big high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Snake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.